We've wanted to catch up with William Jones III for a while now, and this moment seemed like a good one. Will moved to a neighborhood in Charlottesville, Virginia around 2010, and quickly realized there was something he wasn't seeing, himself, or other runners who were black like him. So he mapped out a 5-mile route through the city's black neighborhoods and ran it, inviting others to join. It became known as the Prolific Run Crew, prolific with a Y, a reference to the late Nipsey Hussle's Victory Lap song.
I'm prolific, so gifted. I'm the type that's gonna go get it, no kidding. Breaking down a swish in front of your building. Sitting on the steps, feeling no feelings.
Well, now the Prolific Run Crew is one of Charlottesville's most diverse running groups. William Jones III, tell us more about what you weren't seeing when you were out running in Charlottesville.
I don't see black people. I don't see us taking care of ourselves in this way. Usually the people who were run were usually like amateur boxers. We only did short distance running, but we didn't run distance and try to tap into moving meditation in that way. And so if I knew that I didn't see it, I knew that my people who needed to see it also weren't seeing it. And so I tried to be it.
And so you're not seeing people who look like you, but people who look like you are seeing you. What was the reaction from those people in the neighborhoods?
It was usually a lot of love. I would do it at night. That's when our people were out in the streets doing their thing, having fun. And so I would just run through those spaces, man. And I would run through with respect and with a little bit of courage, because I grew up in similar situations. And so they would always receive me with open arms. You know, I was a barber, and so that gave me a lot of popularity as well. I've always had a dog with me. I had a Yorkie that started running that route with me. And so there was something to see.
Well, do I have this right that they would actually say, "We see you"?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of the things that we kind of say as black men, like, "Y'all see you over there kind of shining." Yeah, we see you, Will. We see you. Showing love and respect for my grind, even if they weren't ready to do it themselves.
By the way, do you understand why so many black people were not running? Did they think it wasn't for them? I mean, you know, we have all these things that we say, like,
yeah,
black people don't swim. Well, yes, they do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Was it that?
I think so. We didn't think we belonged. I think pridefully, we kind of touted ourselves on being really fast and doing sprint. And we kind of looked at long distance stuff like that was more of an African thing than a black American thing. And then with not seeing black Americans do it, I think we just really started to believe it. You know, we allowed our bodies to believe it. And so when we ever tried it, it just hurt. Nobody taught us how you were supposed to do it correctly. We stayed away from it, I think.
Yeah.
But for me, well, it's been reconnecting. It's like connecting me to something primal.
Oh, yeah, and to other people, which the fact that it hurts when you first run, when you don't quite know what you're doing, brings us to Wes Bellamy, who was the head of the political science department at Virginia State University. He became a co-founder with you of the Prolific Crew, but he was not a runner.
Nah, he was not. And he went from not being a runner to Wes just completed his first marathon about a month ago. Yes, sir. Yeah. So. But he went out on that route with me the first time. He was upset with me. He was like, "Man, this is stupid. This is crazy if you think that we're going to get people to run this route with all these daggone hills in it." And now we'll have, you know, sometimes we'll have 100 people show up on a Friday morning.
Talk about that. Who comes now?
We like to definitely acknowledge that our black people show up first, because that's always been our goal, is for black people to run. We have black women. We have some black seniors walking. We have a white woman, Miss Susan. She is 72 years old walking with us. So we have from 72-year-olds all the way down to children, man. I just really like cried. There was a young man who committed to running a part of the route that he never ran before. It was up a long hill. And I told him, "Man, if you get up this hill, you're going to make yourself proud." And you could see where he wanted to quit halfway through the hill. And then he dug in and he ran up that hill faster than he was running before he got tired.
Yeah. Explain how it works. You all wait for each other? How does it work?
When it was just four or five of us, we would just wait for each other. Like, we would get up a hard hill. I would push, because I'm always going to push. And then I would get to the top of the hill and I would just wait. and encourage whoever was coming up. Like, we know it's tough. Let's go. Let's get through this together. We get to these different spots along the route where we just wait for each other and we go for another mile or two and then we wait for each other. Like this particular hill that, you know, I got emotional with the young man. It's our last hill and we call it the cold shower. You come up from under a tunnel out of the projects and we hit this hill as hard as we can. And at the top of the hill is Main Street. And so we just gather in a big crowd right there and we cheer everybody up the hill. And I think it makes people very confident going into that morning.
Well, what happens to along the route? How are the neighbors responding now?
We've been labeled loud joggers. We've been criticized on Reddit about being drug dealers.
What?
Yeah. But the community has really, I think as a whole, Charlottesville has been more than welcoming to our movement. And now with all of these injustices that people are paying attention to now, and with A12 hitting our home, I think that it's empowering a lot of our young people to really like figure out what our gifts and talents are and really give them to the world. I'm running right now and I'm doing an NPR interview. It should show us that we can change our world. I think that's what it's showing our Black community, a lot of our young men, a lot of our young ladies, to just make our situation better as Black people and ultimately make Charlottesville better because we just dope. And we got a lot of dope things that we could do. And when we are locked out, it's to the detriment of the country. It's to the detriment of the city. It's not just our loss. It's all of our loss because we could be a better place if they really gave, especially our Black women, space to exist.
Well, you mentioned A12, and we have to say, you know, August 11th, 12th, this was the, horrifying white supremacist neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville. Heather Heyer was killed by a neo-Nazi who rammed her and injured 30 others with his car. He's been sentenced to life in jail. But then 2020, Ahmaud Arbery, a Black man just running through a leafy neighborhood, was tracked down, chased by a father and son. It was all videotaped by a friend of theirs. The father and son end up shooting and killing him. This was, you know, Black man running. Have there been people afraid of running while Black? Were you ever afraid of running while Black?
Honestly, I would have to say no, just because I'm not going to let them have that. I'm aware of the possibilities, but I think I'm like Ahmaud Arbery. I didn't see fear in him. You know, they hunted him, but he went out like a warrior. And that's the best you can do as a Black man, because you already know that it's stacked against you. And the best you can do is have some heart and have some dignity. Yeah, it's scary, but we just have decided, man, we lived long enough to where we can make some change, and you can't be afraid to make change. And so we run through Charlottesville because we know they don't want us to. We done survived a lot. So what's the point of being afraid now? Can I say that, yes, my wife thinks about me being out there? Absolutely. My mother thinks about me being out there? Absolutely. But at this point, we don't have no time to not be brave anymore. Like, our kids can't see us being weak. And so I don't take that approach. I don't repeat those mantras of I can't breathe, because we are afraid, but we don't need to keep saying that. And so to me, it's about walking around with our chest out. It's about showing that we belong here. That's why we say we here. It means a lot to us. It means a lot. So now we're not afraid. We're tired of being afraid. My Arby was a warrior.
Oof. You know, it just underscores everything, that we could have had a conversation with a white running group, and it doesn't go here. So I want to give you a chance, William, to say one other thing, though. I hear, you know, there's such a diverse group. People are seeing neighborhoods they never would have seen when they run with you. But I'm hearing kids are running out. There's a lot of joy in your wake.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's more joy than anything, honestly. We still had people coming out at 20 deep on a Monday morning when it was 25 degrees outside. this is a mental health space, man. We've really been like helping people feel good about themselves. And so, man, how many people experience 20 people waiting for them at the top of something, encouraging them when they tired? You know, that's powerful. Some of us haven't experienced that since high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's powerful.
William Jones III, co-founder of the prolific Run Crew. It sounds like one of the country's most diverse running groups. William, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate it. We're going to need it.
It's here now.